Teaching is an extremely difficult profession. And as a teacher, you're supposed to know everything. Now, imagine at that point, you had a co-pilot. You had an assistant.
So we've talked in other episodes about how artificial intelligence is changing the way we work. And for many, it's scary. But for teachers in developing countries, AI is a welcome partner and beginning to show its potential to reach into the most remote villages and give low-income families a life-changing education.
In a country where the privileged have better access to information, they have a kind of an unfair advantage. Technology is a kind of a leveler. And this we have seen repeatedly over the last 10, 15 years in sectors even beyond education. My name is Shankar Maruwada. I am the co-founder and CEO of Ekstep Foundation, based out of Bangalore, India.
Shankar Maruwada leads an organization that is developing groundbreaking AI programs to improve public education in India and to help close the literacy gap. Maruwada spoke with journalist Rhoda Metcalf about how AI is changing lives.
So over the past several years, I know that you and your organization have been doing a lot of work trying to improve India's education system by bringing AI into the classroom. To start with, I mean, why do you want to do that? What's wrong with India's education system now?
One has to look at India's size, diversity, and complexity. India has close to 700 languages and dialects, major ones. Statistically, if two Indians meet, the chance that they can understand each other is below 20%.
Wow.
We have 260 million children in the K-12 system.
Right.
Close to 10 million teachers who teach them in 22 official languages.
Okay.
Given this, as a result of a lot of Herculean effort by successive governments over the past few decades, we have solved the schooling problem.
What do you mean by that?
All our children go to school.
Okay.
And that's something we've achieved over the last 10, 15 years. However, by solving the schooling problem, we entered the next problem, the learning problem. Lots of kids in schools, but not really learning as well. What the World Bank calls as the learning poverty.
Right.
So children in grade 5, half of them are unable to do grade 2 level reading or math.
What's holding them back?
The reasons are numerous because many of them are first generation learners. Many of them come from the weaker socioeconomic strata where they do not have access to a lot of books around them. Their parents may not be literate. And some of them might be also working on the farms or helping out in the household. So there are many complex reasons.
So what does AI bring into this equation? How does AI allow you to sort of get over some of these hurdles that you're facing now?
So what we have realized is the cracks start to form early. If you say you're learning a language, English has 26 letters. Indian languages are more complex. They have anywhere from 40 to 52 letters. So the learning process takes more time.
Right.
What happens is if your attendance is not 100%, but 70, 80%, 60%, you missed out certain things. So imagine if you haven't learned how to recognize the letter E. And so you fall behind. And over successive days, months, and years, you're falling behind. This damages your confidence and lowers your motivation.
Right.
So at that point, if there is a safe space where you're not being judged, you have the time to practice, and someone, an expert, almost is looking at you, studying you, and say, I know where exactly the problem is with you. The problem is you haven't understood this combination of letters, so you're getting confused there. What you need is practice only on that part.
Right.
This is where AI comes in. Identify where exactly you are and meet you there. Give you content, building off what you already know, and then gradually take you up the learning curve.
Mm-hmm. So in your program, are you beginning to develop some of these apps that can actually do that?
So what we are learning is what I described to you. It is possible to take time out where there's a safe space, where there's a bunch of children supervised by a teacher, where they're engaging with a computer, which is giving them sentences to read. And in doing so, it's trying to figure out what word, syllable is the child getting right? Where is the child getting wrong? And using that, creating more content. And since there's no judgment, what we're finding is children are coming back to this space again and again. The role of the teacher is very important, but the teacher is saved the drudgery of listening to 30 children one by one, figuring out where their problem is. And the parents are also happy because they see when the children come back after a week or 10 days, they're motivated enough to want to go back.
Right.
It is still early days. So we're trying to understand what exactly is working and not working and tweaking this.
So how many schools would you be currently involved with, or how many children would you be touching with this kind of programming?
Yes. So these experiments are happening as of now with just one state of India. It's already at around 6,000 schools.
Okay.
And that's very small by India standards because we have a million schools.
Right.
But we are deliberately going slow because we want to understand and get the nuance right. What about this can be dangerous for the child? What about this could the parents not like?
Okay.
Because the scale, it's easy for the government to scale it up. That's not a problem.
But, I mean, in a country that is as diverse as India, how do you go about finding AI solutions that are going to, you know, work across the board, even, you know, across the country?
So, as a country, we've been experimenting and are now fairly successful with the digital public infrastructure approach. When you want to solve a problem, rather than thinking of a specific solution, if one can create minimal infrastructure, anything that others can use to build solutions on top of.
Right.
That approach has helped us in leapfrogging in a whole range of areas beyond education, identity, payments.
Mm-hmm.
In education, we are following a similar approach, which is create the ingredients, the building blocks as public infrastructure. And then the specific user interface which is needed for that domain. It could be school learning. It could be skilling.
So you're talking about the idea that you create these blocks of technology that can be adapted to whoever's using them. Is that it?
Yes.
Right.
Yes. So you create the ingredients of the pizza and whoever wants to make whatever kind of pizza they can make.
Right.
So as XStep Foundation, we have been partnering since we're a philanthropic organization. Everything we do is free to use, open source. They've been partnering and investing philanthropic money to create these building blocks. And in partnership with, say, a government of India or a state government, these building blocks could be used in health, in agriculture. And we ourselves use some of these building blocks for education.
But I know that you've also taken the approach in the past. I think a few years ago you started this. The idea of mixing old technology with new technology, right? I mean, you developed this program where you put QR codes into textbooks. Pretty simple technology. What's the advantage of that?
At XStep Foundation, we follow a design policy called plus one design, which is meet people where they are. So if in India, the dominant education behavior revolves around the textbook. Teachers teach from the textbook. The assessments and the examinations are related to the content in the textbook. So as we looked at that, we said, okay, in that textbook, if a small QR code is placed and a QR code becomes a window to the digital world,
right.
It's the child or the teacher's choice to walk through the digital window.
So it's very familiar to them. It's just one step beyond what they're already familiar
with. It's familiar to them.
And has it been very successful? Do a lot of people use it?
There's a national platform for school education called Deeksha. Belongs to the government of India. They have created this digital infrastructure for the 60 autonomous boards of education to use it.
Right.
Between them, they print around 800 million textbooks.
Wow.
Now, in around 600 million of them, on an average, there are 12 to 15 QR codes per textbook. So we're talking about 15 billion QR codes, which a teacher or a child can access. And when they access, they get content in around 34 languages, each created by those individual boards, not by any central organization.
Right. So it's regionalized, it's localized material that they actually had access to.
Exactly. And the kind of material they think is best for their children and their teachers.
But I mean, it's not that easy to update that kind of thing, right? Once you have the textbooks all printed and put out there, you want to add new QR codes, you need to print out a whole bunch of new textbooks. How does that fit? I mean, that sounds expensive.
It's expensive to change the QR code, but it's not expensive to change the digital content.
So you can maintain the same window and change the content.
Exactly.
Oh, that's interesting.
And that's how it's been designed. So now it's been around 3-4 years. During pandemic, the usage went through the roof. Now in the post-pandemic world, the usage is less.
Right.
But people are finding more and more innovative usages of the idea.
I know that it is often difficult for teachers, especially, you know, when they're in poor rural areas, that it's hard for them to stay really interested and motivated in their work sometimes. Do you think that AI has a lot of potential to make teachers feel differently about the work they do?
Teaching is an extremely difficult profession because every day you're standing in front of kids and you see in their eyes whether they're interested or engaged or not. It's extremely stressful and extremely lonely,
right?
And as a teacher, you're supposed to know everything. Now, imagine at that point, you had a co-pilot, you had an assistant to whom you could ask, hey, explain this to me. I myself haven't understood it properly. Is there a better way to teach this concept? I don't seem to be engaging my children. Now, the jury is still out on your question. How can AI really help? We are obviously optimistic. Obviously, we are concerned about misuse of AI. It has to be within the guardrails of responsibility.
Sure.
But we believe in a country where the privileged have better access to experts, better access to information. They have a kind of an unfair advantage.
Right.
Technology is a kind of a leveler. And this we have seen repeatedly over the last 10, 15 years in sectors even beyond education.
So it has a sort of has a democratizing force.
Exactly. The technology does not discriminate based on who I am.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm curious, you obviously have a lot of background in technology and AI. Why have you personally been so drawn to focusing on Indian education?
Those of us, a lot of us, who have been successful owe our success to education. I studied in the IITs and the IIMs.
And those are?
India's premier technology institutions, the IITs, and premier management institution, the IIMs. The equivalent of MIT and Harvard. Except in India, these are all publicly funded. So our education was paid for by the taxpayers, right? It's our way of paying it forward. That is on a personal level. Second, given India's human talent, education is the biggest leverage for us. And given that we are a very young country, not if, but when we solve the education problem, we can unlock a lot of that human talent and convert that potential into possibilities that could impact not just the economy, but so many other areas. And this will have an impact on the world.
So, I mean, if you look 10 years down the road, what's your vision for the Indian classroom? And what's it going to look like?
There is a vision, and I'll connect that vision to a vision we had as a country 10 years ago. Around financial inclusion. 10 years ago, only 18% of India had a bank account and payments were mostly in cash.
Right.
Within 6 years, that percentage went from 18 to 82.
Wow.
And if anybody comes to India now, they're completely surprised that you're able to pay for purchasing a coconut, which is, say, 30 cents. By the click of a few buttons on your phone, and you transferred cash. So digital payment. So from being laggards in financial inclusion, India by far is now a global leader in digital payments.
Yeah.
So to answer your question, imagine 10 years later, a child in a remote part of India has as much access to expertise to learn a language. A teacher teaching that child is able to update herself on the latest and greatest. The parent doesn't need to spend a lot to give the child the best of everything. Access to experts is on tap. Access to information, content is on tap. I have a safe space where I can go, a kind of a digital dojo where I can go, practice what I want, when I want. I'm able to learn in my context. If it's biology, I'm learning about it basing on the flora and fauna in my region. Personalized AI tutors, AI assistants are ubiquitous in my local language that understands my dialect. And as a result of all of these, we have solved the learning poverty problem in India. And when that happens, that has opened up multiple doorways for the child who becomes an adult to participate in India's economic miracle. And India's GDP by then is big enough that creates opportunities globally, not only for Indians, but for the rest of the world.
It's a broad vision.
It inspires us and makes us want to get up every day in the morning and excited about getting back to work.
Well, that's fantastic. Well, Shankar Marwada, I thank you so much for being on the podcast today. And, you know, good luck and well wishes with your work. It's quite a project.
Thank you, Rhoda. It's been fabulous talking to you.
Again, that was Shankar Marwada, co-founder of XStep, speaking with journalist Rhoda Metcalf about how AI is transforming India's classrooms. Be sure to check out the December issue of Finance and Development magazine for more on how AI is changing our world. And you can hear more podcasts about AI, international trade, financial technology, the list goes on. Go to imf.org/podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also follow us on X, what used to be Twitter, at imf_podcast. I'm Bruce Edwards.
And I'm Rhoda Metcalf. Thanks for listening.